Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
The VC Show, let's go. It's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go. Let's go.
What's up, family? Welcome to the VC Show presented by Caesars Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter alongside Roz, Gold Unwoody. What's going on? How you doing over there? Happy opening night.
Yes.
Hope it's been fun to watch all of this stuff. We got a lot to talk about. What's good?
Yeah. NBA is back. This is so exciting. First of all, what are some of your biggest takeaways from the NBA's big return to the main stage?
You know, I want to say it's weird. It is weird. I mean, obviously, you know, for so long, it's like opening night, you prepare for it. Now I'm on the other side of it. So it's just like, okay. Some of the sting is out of it, but at the same time, when it comes on, it's like, okay, you must watch. I think a lot of people are watching now just to kind of see the first week to see, you know, what we have. And it's like the honeymoon phase. I think this is, Roz, work with me here. This is the final week of that honeymoon phase. You know, you go through training camp, preseason, everything looks good. Then you go through that week and then reality sets in. Reality sets in as far as roles, playing time, shots, all of these things that felt good, sounded good, maybe looked good. Now the reality is going to get tweaked. And I mean, it's like, can guys adjust to that and still do their job, still be in the moment, still have that ultimate goal of whatever it is their team has for them and individual goals? Because there's, you know, it's a lot of guys in the league now whose contracts are incentive based. For whatever it is, for minutes, points, games played. So once I'm interested to see that after that honeymoon phase, like where we are. So let's say maybe let's just say 2-3 weeks in, maybe a month in, where it's all settled in and guys are starting to see now. Wait a minute. I'm not playing that 25-30 minutes like I was in preseason, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Right, we might be at like peak, like optimal happiness or willingness for the team right now, and everything.
Yeah, right.
Either you're going up or downhill. Like it's all, it's we'll all see it play out. I think we start at the top with the defending champions. I mean, for me, one mega takeaway and important moment was when the Warriors were having their ring ceremony, and Stephen Curry used his platform to send a message, a happy birthday message to Brittany Griner, and bring awareness that she's still wrongfully detained in Russia. It's been 243 days. And it was her 32nd birthday. And, you know, I know that that was an important date for the family of Brittany Griner, and she's still there. And a point was brought up that WNBA players have been, you know, using their season to continue to talk about her. And now that, that it's the NBA season, you know, I think people are hopeful that that huge and mega platform will keep people aware. I know a lot of commentary has come out from Brittany Griner about a fear of being kind of left behind in Russia or forgotten, or like, you know, starting to feel hopeless. And I can speak from experience in knowing Brittany Griner and covering her. It's very sad, you know, especially if you know her person. She's a very warm person. She's got a lot of joy, got a wonderful smile. She's so kind and nice. She's got great spirit. And so I just pray her spirit isn't broken. So for me, I thought that was a cool moment. I don't know if that was coordinated by the Warriors and Steph, or if Steph just said, I'm going to use that platform, but that was a mega microphone. Also, Ja Morant had a BG hoodie on.
But I think, you know, for, I don't know if she's watching or not, but I think for her family and friends and everybody watching, you know, even the women of the WNBA to hear that. And, you know, here we are on our platform, which is not as huge, obviously, as the NBA and what, you know, how Steph delivered it. But at the same time, you know, Brittany, you're not forgotten. You know, we're trying to use our voice to open doors, for keys to go in the lock, to open doors where you walk through to come home, you know, to your family. So, you know, hopefully if family or friends are listening to us, just, you know, from us, you know, from the VC show, like we're trying to keep, you know, your name in people's mouth and their minds and in their hearts. So, you know, you're definitely not forgotten. And I can understand, obviously, why she feels that way, because it's like she's not in America. She's, you know, she's in Russia. It's not like the person a couple cells down she may know or know somebody. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I can understand where she can lose her faith, her confidence, and belief in life itself. But like, you know, it's up to us to kind of uplift from afar for her and obviously her wife and family, that we're still thinking about her. She's not forgotten. It wasn't just a movement. It's literally, it's a fight and it's a race to the finish in her honor, supporting her.
100%. And that couldn't be better said, Vincent. Coming out of your mouth is a huge platform as well. Speaking of the Warriors and their championship and coming and the ring night, what did you think of the rings? They're pretty amazing.
I mean, every year it's just like, okay, is Jason the jeweler? I think it's Jason the jeweler. How is he going to outdo it this year? How is he going to outdo last year? And I think it's just a cool thing to see.
Jason of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, Jason of Beverly. That's what it was. Yeah, Jason. I was just curious, like, how is he going to outdo, you know, either the year before, or how is it going? Is it going to look better than the Super Bowl ring or something like that? And they never disappoint. It's just a cool moment. Obviously, it's a cool feeling. And, you know, I've never won a championship, so I try to put myself in that moment, just obviously living through those guys. It was just a great moment. I've been a part of one for sure. I know in Dallas, when Dallas won the championship, I was on the team the following year, and watching them receive their rings and the banner. It was just a pretty cool moment. So, yeah, and the rings are totally different now than what they were then. And they were crazy then.
I remember the rings being a sideline reporter for the Warriors for that first championship with Steve Kerr as head coach. And that ring night, like, they played the same song, you know, and what you call it, it just, like, it was different. Like, you know, now you have the more mature elder statesmen, a little bit more serious. You also have a team that,
because they've been there three times, so they know what to expect. Like, yeah, it's still exciting.
You know, it's still exciting, but I noticed that. I was like, okay, not even just like the Andres and the Stephs, the Clays, the Draymonds, like, you know, like, I was like, dang, Looney done got a couple rings. Like, I was like, mad people have won here. And then I remember that first time around, everybody was bouncing and jumping with each other, and the rings were so huge. So this year, apparently, like, players told, I was reading an article on ESPN, and apparently the players told Jason to make sure, wait, what did they say exactly? Make sure it's over the top. And so what stands out to me is that the ring actually, so they're huge. They have on the front part of it, it's yellow as opposed to like white diamonds, and it's yellow diamonds, 7 carats of it, which they had to do. And it like, there's all the hours and all these different people it takes just to make one ring. And it took a while to be able to get those yellow diamonds over because of issues with like the Ukraine war and all this and that. So like, Jason ended up in a situation where he was moving fast to make the rings. I'm like, dang, that's so much drama. But the coolest feature for me is there's a secret compartment on the front, like after underneath the jersey number, if you twist it or something, it slides down as a secret compartment, like trap door that reveals the number of championships you've won. So there would be 4 trophies for guys like Steph and Clay, right? And Draymond. And Andre? Yeah.
Yep.
4 of those. But if you had like 1, 2, or 3, it would be 3 of them or 2 of them. Or if it's your first championship, 1. And that little slide contraption door. And I'm like, what will they think of next? That's pretty cool. You might slide something in there. Who knows? But you might put a, I don't know. You can't fit a key in there.
I mean, they might be big enough after a while.
Yeah, seriously. And it's so big. So the shout out, I guess the winner here is, you know, Jason of Beverly Hills continues to get incredible press. And he did deliver with the creativity on a new ring. So congratulations.
But Roz, you said it though, you know, and on time. Like, I mean, just imagine, like you said, the stress and the pressure to make sure you have it for that night, you know. And we don't know, obviously, the behind the scenes. We just know opening night, they get their rings, boom, there they are. And I know I'm sure maybe he was there or not. Once he sees those rings on the table, I think that's when all who had a hand in this can breathe.
Well, I'll give the full info here, and shout out to Kendra Andrews on the from ESPN with the details. But it took Jason months to find the yellow diamonds. Each ring is made up of 7 carats of yellow diamonds. It was more challenging because they sourced from Belgium, Israel, India, and Canada to find enough. And it was, you know, trade embargoes as a result of the war in the Ukraine only made it more challenging. He and his team, by the time they got all the diamonds together, he and his team had 5 weeks to make the 65 rings, each one needing 40 to 50 hours and 7 different specialists to make. You know, like, gosh, geez. These rings were a labor of love. So,
hey, when they said over top, he said, I'll deliver. Then I know, you know, because like when you're in that business, you say, hey, I need this. Especially, you know, as a jeweler, and your client who's going to spend that money says, I want this. I need this. You say yes. And then as soon as you hang up that phone, I can imagine you're like, yo, we got work to do. Where are we going to find yellow diamonds, you know?
Oh, right. That part. Those things are exclusive and they make sense. So like just kind of taking a look at the actual game, probably the rings might have been the highlight of the actual game. What do you take away from the Warriors kind of dominantly beating or playing the game against the Lakers? Lakers still managed to get, let me look through at my little stat sheet here, still managed to get 27 from Anthony Davis, efficient night. LeBron James came through with a double-double of 31 points, 14 rebounds, and the Lakers still got it handed to them. What are you making of this game? And I'll also shout out on the other side, Stephen Curry came through with a 33 piece in the season opener, including 9 for 9 from the free throw line.
I think it showed there's no hangover. There's a lot that I want to say, you know, if you would, Roz, about this Warrior team. And, you know, we'll start with there was no hangover. First and foremost, they came out about their business. Now, if we go back to, obviously, the situation and the altercation, you know, everybody has their opinion on how to handle this situation, particularly Jordan Poole and how he should handle it, what he should and should not do, so on and so forth. But he came out about his business. Last time we talked about his move right after that incident, came out there and he showed, hey, I'm here to ball and I'm here to win. And people found it hard to like, bro, not me. Well, guess what? A couple of days later, he got paid. That man got paid. But and it's just staying focused and staying the course and you know, it's a shout out to him, but it's a shout out to this team for being businesslike. And I mean, Steph said it, and Clay, all of these guys, like, and even Draymond's like, it's, you know, we're veterans, we're professionals, it's a business. And the one team that I felt you know, I feel that can handle drama like that and not have any lingering effect to the ultimate goal is this team, because they've won, they've been together long enough to where they know to put it aside. Yeah, there could be drama that maybe they don't talk to each other. Fine. You still do your job within the lines. And, you know, it reminds me of a Laker team when Kobe and Shaq weren't vibing and they're talking. They didn't hang out on the court. They would have, you know, back and forth. But guess what? You could not stop them when they got on the court in the lines. They did what they had to do for each other. And I look at this team the same way. And I think we all were watching just to see, okay, the preseason is cool. Like I said, that honeymoon. But what are they going to look like coming out? They came out ready to roll. You know, it wasn't a hangover, not just celebration of the rings, not outside noise of the altercation. It was business as usual. And it was just it was a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what else too? Like, the Warriors have looked good on defense for a number of spurts, and I always think when Warriors teams are strong defensively, or championship Warriors teams are always great on defense. And so I saw that carry over. I think a couple of cool signs too. You know, James Wiseman, we were excited to see what he would do this year. And in his 16 minutes, you know, off the bench, came through with an efficient night, 4 for 6 and 7 rebounds. He's part of that youthful movement of, you know, Kuminga, Moody. Moody came in and hit 2 shots. Like, just can they lean on them more? Especially as they're still working Klay Thompson and he played 20 minutes. I know coach is being careful with him. And to your earlier point, what would make come of the preseason altercation, you know, Jordan Poole came off the bench, not his most efficient night, 12 points. Draymond Green, though, 4 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 2 for 5 shooting. Now, I'm not going to sit here and look at stat lines. More what's important for the Draymond Jordan Poole story to me is Draymond's dropping the countdown, like a documentary. And he teased pieces of it during the games today and the presentation. And I know you saw it as well. I mean, I just think Draymond really knows how to capture the moment or storytell. I think he understands the business of this. And he also, if the story is him, you know, why shouldn't he own it? You know what I mean? But on the other side, I know the easy and the most important thing to say is, I hope that there was a conversation with Jordan Poole. I hope that Jordan knew this was coming out and, you know, was like, all right, I understand and cool. Like, I don't know. I feel like,
Roz,
I feel like it could be like hard to have him capitalizing off a moment like that.
Right. I agree with that. I think, you know, it was a huge moment by Draymond. And I said it, last episode, that he came out, said what he had to say in his press conference and not on his podcast. And I think that deads the situation there. You know, you see Jordan Poole and them interacting, because obviously they're watching every movement of the two. Well, you see they're doing handshakes, they're interacting, dead the situation. And I just feel like it should be left right there. You know, don't go any further. Like, if anything, it's handled internally. They're doing a great job. That's what the organization, that's how they handle their business. Like you said, I just hope it's like, you know, are they capitalizing? Or is he capitalizing? I don't know. I just feel like at this point, they did what they needed to do to handle the situation, where it's no blowback. It's, you know, very little blowback. It's talked about, but not really, because of the performance. They had a great performance. Like, if they bombed tonight, imagine if they didn't look good tonight. And then this drops also, you know what I'm saying? So I guess it works out in that situation. But I'm just like, you handle it. You did it the right way. Let's just move on. Let's move on. Now let's go win this thing again. If you want to get 5, that's what we're talking about. Because it's a lot on the line, not really for Jordan Poole anymore. It's on the line for Draymond as far as his extension. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's focus on that. Like, you know, and I say that when I say that, I'm thinking about the playoff game. What playoff game? Who was he on the road where he had a bad game because he was caught up into Boston, when he was caught up to what the fans were saying and he didn't have a great game. And this can kind of have some of that effect, I think. It's just an opinion of that, because worried about it, because people are obviously going to break that down. They're going to break it down and they're going to ask questions. And then, of course, he has to answer that and play it. And he's capable. Don't get me wrong, he's capable, but he has a lot riding on this. And maybe, like you say, he's not getting the extension. Maybe he understands the writing on the wall. I don't know, but I would think he would try to go all the way and do his thing to get his money that he feels he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely feel you and understand what you're saying. And if there wasn't like a prior conversation with Jordan and the Warriors, you know, I feel it could land feeling like it was done in bad or it's in bad taste. And I think right now, like, you know, being tone deaf would not be tactical of Draymond, who's a very intelligent person, so, and emotionally intelligent. So that'll be interesting to see that play out. You know, I saw on NBA Twitter a few people saying, like, I wonder if it was, you know, if he did it for the documentary. And I was like, no, that would be nuts. No, but
if that's the case, I can't see Jordan be like, all right, cool. When, you know, let me know. Like, come on, man. That's,
you know, and that's part of it too, that Jordan is the type of person that he is, you know, for this to go the way that it's going. Because this could easily also be much more tense. But that, man, the NBA never stops entertaining. All right, Vince, you know, we always tap in with the conversation happening on NBA Twitter. And one of the clips that seemed to be gaining a lot of attention, it's of Draymond Green and LeBron James. LeBron was on the court. And, you know, Draymond was on the sidelines. It's third quarter, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And so the game's, you know, still in play. This is a live moment.
And it's a blowout, too.
So that part, too. It's a blowout. And the two of them are really good friends. And so during the game, it looks like Draymond might have called to LeBron or LeBron to Draymond. And they find each other right in front of the Warriors bench. And right now, like, people on Twitter are kind of making a thing of it. And people are looking at the reactions on the bench from teammates. I mean, you were someone who played in the NBA. Is this common? What do you think? Is it a big deal? Not a big deal?
It will be a big deal. And I think it is. The reason I think it'll be a big deal, because, you know, we hear the whispers that possibly Draymond might not, you know, he might not get his extension, but he'll probably, he is more than likely will end up in LA. So, you know, like I said, they are friends. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Draymond under the same agency group, isn't he with Clutch as well? I don't know. Let's find that out. But
they're all with Clutch.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, LeBron's getting all his Clutch guys over at some point. But they are good friends. So I mean, some people will see it as an issue, because I already know they're gonna say, hey man, you should be focusing on the game when it's, I think it was 91-66.
What do you think if you were a teammate on the Warriors sitting there watching that? Is that a big deal for you or not?
If I'm on the Warriors, no, because we're winning. So it's like, whatever.
Right.
Right, you know, we up 25. So it's like, whatever. But I don't know. I mean,
what's funny to me is everybody looking at, how's Jordan Poole doing? Bro just got $140 million and a championship ring, his first one ever. I bet you he's okay. But
yeah, you know, he like, man, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Right, rubbing his face.
But no, I mean, it's
you don't even want to see me with $140 million. I wouldn't even talk. You couldn't even. I wouldn't text that.
Hey, so they give the $140 million to the right people?
Yeah, facts. That's why they didn't get me. That's right. They made a good choice.
But no, to answer your question, I think, I mean, it's easy to look into this. I mean, it's just, it happens a lot. You know, guys are friends. You know, that's just the game today. You know, I know you will see probably comments from the older generation of NBA players, and they will think differently to this, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I know they're already zooming in on reactions from the bench, all the things. I'm gonna try not to get messy, but we saw
a few reactions.
Oh, it could be anything. It could have just been the camera caught something and it's unrelated, but who knows? The tea is always hot in the NBA.
Absolutely.
The VC show, let's go.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
All right, let's take a look at the other game of opening night.
And well, Roz, real quick, we can't not talk about this Laker basketball team. Real fast.
We can't not talk about.
And I mean, and I just want to real quick, because since we talked about that game and the dominant performance from them, I just want to say this. I'm just curious to see how things work out with Russ, and you know, can he still figure out how to be Russ in a new role? And Roz, the Lakers got to find some shooting. Mm. Point blank.
Can you tell me how, BC? Can you give me a route there?
Yeah, you're gonna have to go find them in trading somebody. Because I mean, you just look at the roster; they don't have shooters, like knockdown shooters. Like in the past, you think of a Wayne Ellington, you think of Danny Green. I mean, just guys who spread the floor. You need guys to spread the floor. Of course, when Kendrick Nunn gets rolling, when obviously LeBron gets rolling. They had Matt Ryan, not Matty Ice, but Matt Ryan on their team for that as their specialist. But how many minutes is he going to play? He's going to have to come in, hit his first couple of shots to stay in the game. So, you know, as far as their rotational guys, who is going to spread the floor and open up the floor for AD and LeBron to do their thing consistently, because they're going to have to work so hard to score against a packed defense. You know, if I'm coaching against the Lakers right now, guess what I'm doing? I'm packing the paint. Obviously, you're aware of LeBron because I think you said he took 9 threes today or whatever, you know, I'm aware of that. So we're going to try to close out to that, but I'm living with LeBron having a good shooting night and nobody else, you know? So that's just my concern with the Lakers. I'm done. We can move on.
You bring up Matt Ryan, and I love this story. And I know Lakers fans, you know, already know this one very well, but it's one that's making the national rounds now. Matt Ryan, a year and a half ago, was driving for DoorDash and working at a cemetery after he didn't receive an invite to the G League bubble. And now, fast forward to 22-23 season, he's on the Lakers' final roster. And I'm so happy for him. I, you know, as a journalist, I love a story. This is exactly what I would do a sideline report about. I can't tell, though, if this story says more about Matt Ryan or more about the Lakers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
But they have a need for him.
Right. He can shoot it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, but what is it? I'm just saying, like, they would need more to your point.
No, I agree. No,
to your absolutely. Point, and certainly more shooters and more people who like can, you know, be a big factor. But it opens opportunity up. Mm-hmm. What do you predict happening in the first half of the season before the All-Star break? Give me just a bold prediction for the Lakers.
They're going to make a move. I think they're going to make a move. I'm not sure. I don't remember what you said was what Russ's stat line was, but. They're gonna need an engaged Russell Westbrook in his new role. He's gonna have to figure out. You got to figure out what.
Russ was fine, and you know, much to Charles Barkley made 10, the maybe? Point tonight. No. Russ was 7 for 12 from the field, 1 for 3. He made 4 or 5 free throws. You know, remember what Coach Ham told us when he came on the show with us? He said he needs to be an all around player and do other things. 11 rebounds. 3 assists. I'm not seeing how many turnovers here, but an overall 19 points. But, you know, look, going over Russ's stat line after the game doesn't necessarily even tell the story. And I thought Charles Barkley, you know, some people feel like, man, they're tired. There's people on either side of the storyline saying they're tired of or they rock with it. But Charles was like, you know, it's crazy with the Lakers. They're going to make a joke around Russell Westbrook. No matter what happens, they're going to.
Correct.
You know, after the game, they're going to say, what did Russ do? And you know, he's been a big proponent of, and KD came out and said it too, like, you know, this isn't Russ's fault. You know, he's got his flaws that are adding to why things, you know, Didn't work for the Lakers last season. But again, we are one game into the NBA season. And I think, you know, allow us to see a little more before making strong judgments. Are you already making your strong judgment?
I don't know. But it's not a judgment, but something's going to have to change or happen there for them. Them meaning the Lakers to have success. So, you know, they're going to have to find shooting, because when you start getting in a playoff game, because you start the season to prepare yourself for the playoffs, and the question will be, where will they get their shooting to make things easier for their superstars? Yes, we could throw it to LeBron and he gets buckets. You can throw it to AD. He goes and beat single coverage, double coverage, sometimes triple teams and take tough shots. But can that last throughout a course of a playoff run to get yourselves in the final? I don't think as constructed right now, they have enough because you definitely need shooting to spread the floor to allow those superstars to have driving lanes.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people are echoing that. Any final thoughts you want to put on the Lakers before we move to the other game?
That was cool.
Because there were three 35-point scorers in the Celtics 76ers game. And I think first, let's talk about the individual one on the 76ers. Even though the Celtics came away with a win, 76ers, we saw some flashes of, you know, the Harden we've all known in this NBA. So what do you think of James Harden's NBA season debut?
You know, and I think people look at Harden kind of like Russ, as far as that, you know, everybody's like, oh, what Harden do? Did he look like old Harden? You know, some of those things. And I think he could care less. He knows who he is, and he knows he can score, you know, with the best of them, if not one of the best to ever do it. And he looked good, man. He, you know, it's just – you know, what will come of this? I mean, you know, they're going to have to figure it out defensively. I think they had a lot of defensive lapses as a unit. Just little mistakes that I think, you know, with the veterans that they have on the floor, you know, they're going to have to clean up if they want to say, you know, come out of the East. I'm a huge fan of Maxi. I think they're going to have to utilize this kid more. I think he's going to make the game easier for Russ. Yes, James Harden and Embiid. I think he's a guy that can go get you a bucket. He can play fast. He'll open the floor for Embiid to get a lot of one-on-one coverage because he can get in the paint, drop offs and things like that. So sometimes you can put the ball in Maxey's hands so Harden can play one-on-one and do his thing instead of starting the ball in his hand, a lot of dribbling. So I like what we saw from Harden. He's showing that he's back, and that kind of killed all of the questions about, you know, can he still score at that, the Houston Harden. I think, you know, he's showing like, I still got it. He's dedicated his body and himself to being in shape and ready to go.
Yeah, and I think a hamstring injury, like being able to come in healthy and well-conditioned, makes such a difference. And then also to come in and start a full season with a team makes such a difference. You know, to have continuity with a team makes such a difference. A hamstring, man, I mean, you could describe that. That's explosive.
You're limited.
You know, yeah, it's all the different directions.
And he's not an athlete, but he's still limited because of how he plays, you know, as far as moves. And, you know, he likes the short burst, and those things are important to him. So, yeah, if you can't push off that hammy, forget it.
Yeah. So looking at the other side, though, you know, takeaways from watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combine for 70, 35 each. And Tatum also threw in 12 rebounds and 4 assists. And you know what? I'm going to also throw in there. Celtics had 24 assists, 24 fast break points. They're out there playing at pace. They're moving that thing. Like, I think last season we saw that was when they were at their best, and they just kind of picked up from there.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They picked up from where they left off. I mean, disappointing loss, but obviously in the finals. But they have a goal and a mission. And for them, with the outside noise and, you know, what has happened to them in the offseason, they've put that aside and showed that, yo, okay, but we have a coach that they're confident for. And you can see it, the business was usual. Their defense was sound and solid. And Jason Tatum is making a statement right along with Jaylen Brown. These two guys played great to get their team into the finals last year, fell short. You know, they were up and down a little bit. Well, I look for them to do this. This was a statement game for them. This is how, you know, there's teams like that. I look at Boston, you know, the bounce back from you know, what would, from losing in the finals, and would we see, what would we see in opening night? Well, we saw it. We saw that, no, we're taking this seriously, and they're hitting first. They're making, letting you know, oh, no, that was last year. Yeah, we were disappointed, but, yo, we're running this back. And that was cool to see. And, you know, because I think about the Atlanta Hawks after one, you know, one game away from an opportunity to be in the finals. Obviously, Trey going down made things tough. And I wanted to see if they had this response like we're seeing Boston. And, you know, it didn't happen. But Boston, like, they're loaded. They're locked and loaded. And they have a lot of pieces.
Yeah, and in the face of chaos, you know, and even without Robert Williams, who we won't see for a little front part of the season now, you know, Grant Williams, you know, looked great off the bench, really showing his shooting touch, the fact that he can space it and then give you tough physical defense and an IQ out there. Very impressed with his performance. Want to just point out, he was 8 for 8, 5 for 5 from the field, 3 for 3 from the three-point line. Very impressive 15 points in his 24 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, man, he's solid. But there again, these guys have been there, and it seems like they said, bump the outside noise. What are we going to do? How are we going to get back? How, we all want more of that because they felt like they let one go. I mean, I've heard them all, pretty much all of them say that. And I think adding Blake Griffin, you know, it's just he's a plug-and-play guy. With Williams going out, you can put him in there to spread the floor. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He rebounds. He's going to give you some good minutes to go along with Al Horford. So they have a lot of pieces right now to plug in because of the injury last year. I think losing the big fella last year in the finals hurt them a little bit because he's such a rim protector. But they have a lot of – you know, a lot of guys with energy and effort, and for what they're going to lack in size, you can put in Grant Williams to spread the floor because he's strong enough to guard a five. And right. Then that big five is going to have to guard him as well.
All right, we're going to finish out the show with just some flowers, a delivery of flowers. And the flowers that we need to give out is to just longtime Giants leaders, voices and faces of this game and league that we love. And that would be to the inside the NBA crew. They all inked long-term deals, including the headliner 10-year deal for Charles Barkley that is estimated to be between between 100 to $200 million, somewhere within 100.
200.
$1 million.
Close to 200.
Right. And that would put you between 10 to 20 million per year. And you know, we hear those types of contracts when you hear about, like, you know, a marquee guy becomes the analyst for football, or Tom Brady's name was thrown out there. And you know, we've heard Stephen A whispers of 10 to 12 million a year. So to hear Charles, who might have been thinking about walking away or whatever, just kind of given that, or rewarded with the bag that he earned, like, I personally was like, good for Chuck. Oh, yeah. He's awesome. They're just so good at what they do in that show. And it's so much bigger than just talking about the X's and O's of the game. And Charles really makes a lot of it work. And a lot of that has to do with his ability to joke on himself. And I used to work at Turner. Like, Charles is just a really nice, warm, like, he makes everybody feel good. You know, drinks on Chuck is a real thing.
Oh, that's a real thing.
The whole thing, and whoever's in there, drinks are free.
Yep.
And now, and $200 million or whatever.
Oh, boy, it's about to be insane. But Raj, you hit it on the head, man. Like Chuck, I love him. Like him or not, like, he understands how to read the room. He understands the moment on TV. You know, he'll talk his junk, you know, like you said, about others. He'll pick at Shaq just because he knows he can. But at the same time, he's very aware of world issues, what's right and wrong. He can, you know, he'll publicize his rights and wrongs, and, you know, like you said, talk about himself. But, like, off camera, man, this dude is great, great dude, man. I golf with him often, and get the opportunity to kind of see him. Like, you know, we golf in Tahoe, let's say.
Isn't he and bad at, like, golf, or is he good?
He's getting better. He's put a lot of work in to his golf game, so he's definitely better from probably what you're thinking. The last image you've had of him, he's way better than that. But he just walks around in Tahoe, and he's like the mayor. You know, he greets everybody and he thanks everybody for coming out. And like, you know, he's always painted as the villain. You know, there's a lot of guys that we paint as the villain. I'm going to give you another name, Matt Barnes. People paint him as a villain, but dog, Matt Barnes, one of the coolest dudes ever, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Matt's the coolest. It's just like, you know, it's just people like, you mess with me, you cross the line, it's going to be a problem. And I'm just going to let you know about it. So it's just, but like you said, shout out to those guys. Obviously, Ernie, another guy that I golfed with, got to know Shaq, a good friend. And of course, Kenny Smith, another Carolina guy. I know all those guys very well. And watching those guys work together live is a treat. Like, you've been there, you've gotten to see it. It's just a treat. And, you know, it would be sad to see that team break up and, you know, implement. It's like the pressure, think about this, the pressure for somebody to replace one of those four guys would be like replacing some of the greats of the game, you know, of any sport, you know. So shout out to them. That's just great to hear.
Yeah, when they shut it down, they should just stop broadcasting the games. Like, no, I'm just playing.
Well, you definitely should start a different show. It shouldn't be called Inside the NBA or something.
Let it go, retire it.
Because you're gonna automatically, you know, you're gonna try to put whoever's next against that, mm-hmm. and that's what who's the, like Shaq's been there the least amount of years, but so you're still talking about 10, 15 years of those guys working together, or at least 10 years of those guys working.
Yeah.
Well, with Shaq, or however long, but you're talking about, I'm talking about with Shaq in that group too. So you're talking about like 10 years of them working together, you know, just like second nature. It's second nature. You know what I mean? So it's you know, it can't be duplicated.
Not at all. They're all so good. And I'm very, very happy for them. So, flowers to the Countdown crew, to our NBA family, flowers to the NBA season that is here and upon us, and flowers to you, Vince, as well. I know we're doing this show.
Same to you. We got work. We're going to be working now. It's time to get to work. So you're going to be seeing, obviously, Roz, you're going to be everywhere doing your thing, on TV. So, hey, have a great year. I got to say it now. I'm sure we'll be doing some shows, probably NBA Today a few times, you know, outside of this podcast. So, hey, have a great year. Kill it as usual. It should be a very interesting year.
Yeah, for sure. You too. And safe travels. Yeah. All the things.
Oh, yeah. We got to get them sky miles up.
You know, look, I'm diamond.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ain't got to flex on me. You don't got to flex on me.
No, I'm with you. You got more miles than me.
All right. Good night, friends. Take care.
We're out of there. Y'all be good.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing.
This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.